Hello, my name is Andreina.
And my name is Gabriela, and this is Wicks and Candles, a podcast about two sisters and their obsession with period film.
We want to dig into some of our favorite period films and review them. Find out why we love them and what effect they have on us.
Join us on a trip through palaces and manors, balls and tea parties, and a lot of dresses, carriages, and of course, wicks and candles.
In this episode, Harriet.
The movie we discuss today is anything but sugar-coated. It also has no wicks and just a few candles. We're reviewing Harriet.
Yes. This is a film based on a true story, and therefore incredibly poignant and important.
Absolutely, Nene. And it's quite different from what we've reviewed so far in our podcast series. First of all, because it's set in the United States, which we hadn't had so far. And it's also during a time in history that we have not yet quite explored. That is the middle and end of the 19th century.
That's right, Gabby. But one thing that this film has in common with the others we have discussed so far in this podcast, it portrays a very strong woman with a fascinating story. So, Gabby, can you please give us a short summary of the film?
Sure, Nene. The film came out in 2019 and was directed by female director Casey Lemons, who also co-wrote the script together with Gregory Alan Howard. I was not very familiar with the work of Casey Lemons so far, but while doing my research for the podcast, I found out that she's a very prolific artist, not only being a director, but an actress, producer, and writer for several films and TV series, which I found very, very impressive. Mm. The film features actress Cynthia Erivo as Harriet Tubman. And here's a few interesting facts about Cynthia. There have only been 14 Black actresses to be nominated for the Oscar as Best Actress, and Cynthia is one of them.
Wow.
She was nominated in 2019 for this film. And not only that, in the same year, she was also nominated not only for the performance in the leading role, but also for the original song of the film Harriet, named Stand Up. We have to say that Cynthia comes from the musical. She has a musical background. This is why she's also an excellent musician and singer. And she won the Tony Award for The Color Purple in 2016. So back to the movie. A few other facts. We also have two other performances. One is actress Janelle Monáe, who plays Marie Buchanan. Now, this actress is, she's actually more model and musician than actress, but her face is so fascinating, so peculiar that whenever we see her, we immediately know we've seen her.
Yeah.
So I know her from her performance in the film Hidden Figures, which I really liked. And we also see in this film, we see Leslie Odom Jr., as William Still. Now, the rest of the cast, I have to admit, also Leslie Odom Jr., was unknown for me, but I am pretty sure, Nene, that you know Leslie Odom because he is, of course, known for the role of Aaron Burr in the world-acclaimed musical phenomenon of Hamilton.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So just to wrap up the hard facts in the films, it got many nominations nominations for a lot of critics and film critics awards, including, as I mentioned before, the nomination for the Oscar for Best Performance by an Actress in a Leading Role and Best Achievement in Music Written for Motion Pictures. which also went, the nomination went also to Cynthia Erivo.
Wow.
That's pretty much it. Nene, can you now give us a summary of the plot?
Well, Gabby, thank you for that. A detailed tour of the movie. I can give you a little bit of the plot. So Harriet is a biographical movie, a biopic, that tells the story of the real-life American abolitionist Harriet Tubman. Harriet, whose real name at birth was Araminta Minty Ross, was a young woman born as a slave in Maryland. When the film starts, she is already married, but her husband is a free man. When the family who own Harriet, her mother and sisters, refuses to honor a promise made by the plantation owner's ancestors to set Harriet's family free, Harriet becomes radicalized. She plans her escape, and after successfully liberating herself, she sets out to liberate others. The movie follows Harriet as she transforms into a well-known and respected activist, first as a conductor in the Underground Railway, and then as an abolitionist and leader.
Thanks for that, Nene. It is a true fascinating story.
Yeah, that it is.
It is so, so powerful. So we really can't wait, as we were preparing for today's episode recording, we couldn't wait to start our discussion because we have so many impressions to share.
Yeah.
So, Nene, how about we start with the fact that this is the very first time that we see the story of Harriet Tubman on screen. It is really the first film production that has been made about this woman. And interestingly enough, we see a Black female director bringing this story to life of a strong Black figure. We have talked about this when we discussed Belle in another episode. And we also mentioned that the fact that it was also a woman who discovered the story and decided to put it on screen. So what do you say to that? Another woman bringing strong woman stories on the screen.
This question, you wrote it because you know what I think about this. what I think about this. Yeah. It's just a testament of why you need to empower many different kinds of people to be able to tell different stories, be it through music, film, books, any medium. In this case, Hollywood. It took a Black female director to be able to bring the story to life in a sort of like a medium-sized budget moving picture. I was looking around and I found there's a couple of documentaries, short films. So there's a couple of things that have been done about Harriet Tubman because she's a very prominent historical figure in the United States. There was no major motion picture with a good size budget and some Hollywood heavyweights behind it before this one. So I think what he says is you need is interesting because we don't need. This is the ideal situation when you have somebody like Cassie Lemons directing this movie. This is an ideal situation because it is not just show us these stories. It is about who's telling them as well. Because it would not be the same thing if you'd have a white director, probably doing a good film as well. But it is so significant that you have a Black director who's charged with honoring her ancestors and her ancestors' ancestors through this motion picture, just through a movie. So I think it is wonderful. I think this is what we like to see. This is what you know, it make us cheer. Like, we want more of these movies. This is what we seek out. And I think as a movie viewer, a female movie viewer, this is what I want. I very intentionally go out and look for these movies that are directed by women and they are directed by women of color and so on. Like, I very intentionally try to do that. And this is the case for this movie.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I like very much what you said about this empowerment. And watching an interview of Casey Lemons about this film, she goes pretty much in the same direction that she says. She hopes to give others the spark to try out and tell the story, you know, to inspire them to follow their passion and tell their story, whichever it is. Absolutely, Nene. And I think maybe we are looking at it with our own personal lens, being women and being from Latin America. So we might have a selective, perception, but for me, it also means a lot. And when I realize what it means to me to see such an excellent production, such a strong story, such a good job being done by a woman, I think exactly that. I want to shield it up. I want to say, look here, there was a Black woman who mm-hmm. was not afraid of anything, and she took the chance, and she did this. Of course, Casey Lemon has a certain experience, and we mentioned she's a very experienced artist in this area. Yeah. But still, she took the chance of portraying the story of Harriet Tubman in such a dimension, and she did a great job. This is like, okay, look what women can also achieve. It inspires me. It inspires me, and it's really motivating.
I think what you just said is so moving. And I think, well, we're talking about Hollywood, and Hollywood has its own set of issues, which it still has a big trouble giving the money to the right people.
And this is what I think, because, you know, I am in my surrounding, I consider myself to be very privileged. I don't have to fight much more for my rights or my freedom or whatever. I live in Europe. I have a good job. I haven't been discriminated in any way. But if that fact, Black female director portraying this film, tells me something, I can perfectly imagine how much it tells, how much it means and motivates and inspires other people who don't have the position I have, who feel discriminated, who feel left out, who feel excluded. Yeah. And this is the significance of the work of someone like Casey Lemons.
Absolutely. And I think I don't want to, you know, I hope people don't take this the wrong way. But to me, what we're talking about is taking things into your own hands and not asking for permission. And I hope people, listeners, don't take this the wrong way. But for us doing this podcast, for me, it's an example of following that lead, where we don't want to wait for anybody to give us permission to talk about films, to talk about movies that we might feel are not our heritage, because a lot of them cover European history, for example, or American history. And there are few period films that are from Latin America. Hopefully we're going to find a few and discuss them here. But I think that is just for me personally, doing this podcast is following the lead of somebody like Casey Lemons, who is taking into her own hands to, you know, a kind of art and telling the stories. And for us, adding our voices, adding our Latin American voices into a critical space for period film is important to me, because it's a perspective that we don't often hear. Mm. And we are not asking for permission. We're just going for it and hopefully adding something valuable to the conversation.
Absolutely nearly. And you have just used one word that I would like to take on to ask you the next question. You mentioned the word permission. Huh. And now I go into the following question. We in our introduction, we made a little portrayal of Cynthia Erivo as a leading actress on this film. And we mentioned that she is British. She's British Nigerian. And funnily enough, the production team for this film was criticized a lot by the choice of a British actress to play the role of an American hero. But and this is why I use now your cue. They didn't ask permission. They didn't ask for permission to cast a British actress into this. Casey Lemons had a strong feeling about this, and she knew it was the right thing to do. And Cynthia Erivo was convinced that this was the role for her.
Wow.
Now, what do you say to that?
Well, I'm going to give you my opinion, but then I'm going to turn it to you because I didn't read a lot about, I remember a little bit about there being a little bit of controversy when this movie came out not too long ago. So I remember, but not too much about, you know, there was some criticism. I don't think it's, I mean, people, of course, can criticize, but I think artists in general don't owe people, in this case, viewers, much more than their work. And I think the work speaks for itself. And if the director saw Cynthia Erivo as her Harriet, that is her vision. You have to respect that because it's her artistic vision. Now, we have seen a lot of period movies throughout the years, and this is nothing new when you have British actors portraying the roles of Americans, and a lot of Americans playing the roles of British aristocracy. Gwyneth Paltrow, Kirsten Dunst, who else? I mean,
Gillian Anderson. Yeah, so many.
Yeah, so I think for me, Americans can be protectionist in a little bit sometimes, right? Yeah, I know we're going to talk about Cynthia Erivo's performance. I'm just going to say, I think Cassie Lemons made the absolutely right choice.
Absolutely.
I think casting is tricky because we're not a specialist in any of these topics, but it is a very hard to pinpoint alchemy, I think.
That you yes, have of course.
Like
because we only see the performance on the screen, but of course the director and the production team, they also have to know the actor or actress, how they combine into the entire cast and the entire team. Yeah.
Casting is a very tricky, almost like a magical, who knows, like how do they do it to cast movies? It's like almost like, ooh, magic. Yeah, because, but in this case, my opinion is that, people can criticize, but I think you have to choose the best person, and you have to choose a person that's going to fit within your vision of how you're going to represent that character. And she found Erivo, and she thought she was the right one. I think other filmmakers are free to make their own version.
Absolutely.
So, American actress.
So if I get you correctly, you give the credits to Casey Lemons for just appreciating the artistic value of the person, regardless of the nationality. Yeah. So obviously we have, as you mentioned, we have seen that the nationality doesn't play a big role for the actor or actress to portray someone, some historical figure. And I absolutely agree with that. Many, especially nowadays, with such a global society, and we're trying to break so many patterns, nationality shouldn't play a role in such questions. I want to throw a thought into the discussion regarding this question, and this is maybe why it stuck to me and I brought it up. I watched the film with my husband, and I also mentioned to him while I was doing my research exactly this, that the production team was criticized by this choice of actress. And when we talked about it, he said, but don't you think that Cynthia Erivo also identifies with the story of Harriet Tubman? She is herself a descendant of enslaved people. So she can perfectly fit into those shoes and portray such a figure. That is also her story and the story of her ancestors. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't belong only to the American enslaved people. Because all enslaved Africans who went to Europe, who went to America and had descendants, they have that story and that history in their souls.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That's a great point, of course. That is a fantastic point. Yeah. So she's honoring her own ancestors, and I don't have much to add to that thought. Other than to say that it is a tricky thing, and I think in this case, I think it's case by case in those times where there's controversies. You know, people love to especially film Twitter. Film Twitter is particularly picky about things, and they go up in arms for all kinds of things. There's always criticism to a lot of casting choices for this, for that, for superhero movies and this and that. Yeah. And then the actors prove them wrong. And in the whole, I think what's most important is that did she honor the historical figure with her portrayal? I think she did. And absolutely. I think that is the ultimate goal.
Yes, Nene. And I think we can explore shortly exactly that point, if you allow me.
Yes.
The performance of Cynthia as Harriet, it is so breathtaking. It is so strong and powerful.
Yeah, we can go on that, because I was... I don't know if we're going to be touching on this later. I think we're talking more topics, much more than production values or things like that in this case, because the story is so compelling. For me, the strongest part of this entire movie is her performance. For me, Cynthia Erivo's performance is what elevates the movie to another level. And I'm looking at our script and seeing, are we going to be talking about, you know, other more technical aspects of the movie? And I think she did a lot with a so-so script. Not so much in terms of dialogue, but in terms of pacing and in terms of delving into some moments and maybe brushing up, just kind of rushing through other ones, more in that kind of thing, like trying to put a little bit too much, yes. which is very common in biopics. When you try to cram a lot of years into a movie, they suffer from that. So for me, she absolutely elevates the movie to another level every time she's in, which is almost every scene. She has the power that she has in her face, but her entire body, I think, is such a physical performance, because we see her running a lot because she does her escape, and there's just some wonderful scenes of her lifting off her skirts and just running through woods, running through roads in the dust, just escaping. Is a very physical performance, and you can believe 100% the how strong she was, how this woman was like ready to run by the force of her convictions, and she's very moving at other times. She's very deep in all the time. She's very tender in all the moments. And her singing voice.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Lord, Lord. Because this is something that we haven't mentioned. And I don't know how accurate this is. Harriet escapes. She makes it. And then she decides she makes it to freedom. She actually escapes and she walks or runs 100 miles to freedom on her own. Initially, she was supposed to run with her brothers, but they back out of the plan.
They backed out. Yeah.
They are too afraid. And she says, I cannot. I must go. So she does it. She does it on her own. And then she comes back. And then in her back and forth, trying to liberate people, she would sing. She will she will stand far away from the fields and she will sing this song. And that's when the slaves will know that she's calling them. Every time she did this, I almost lost my mind because it was so beautiful. Like I found those moments so
sublime. Yeah.
So sublime. So yeah, those were the moments where the movie elevated itself to another level. Where other times it was a little bit more pedestrian. Every time she sang, it was like, this is the level that we want in this movie.
Yes.
And then it will go into some scenes that were not as accomplished. But yeah, that's my opinion.
That's your opinion. Nene, I agree 100% with what you say. We don't usually agree 100%. But I agree on this point. I agree completely that what makes this movie stand out is not only the story, of course, because it's an incredibly true story, but of course the performance of Cynthia. And she drives the movie. She is in it. She is the energy in the movie. Yeah? Even though she's kind of calm all the time, she's suppressing so many feelings. There are only a few scenes when you really see Harriet releasing emotions, you know. She's always very controlling herself not to make a mistake, not to make a noise. She's always in the hiding, you know. And she, of course, with her slave background, of course, they knew they couldn't be too loud, they had to bow their heads and everything. And this is And she follows that, yeah. And there's only a few moments when she really lets this inner intrinsic energy out and shows expressions in her face, like the scene when she finally, for the first time, when she walks into freedom and she looks into the sunlight, and you, for the first time, you see that she's smiling and she's about to burst into tears, because it must have been probably the first time she could be herself without being, you know, observed by her owner or whatever, or being told off. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I absolutely agree that Cynthia is, of course, driving the film, and she has this talent, of course, of portraying the right emotions in the right moment. And I guess what makes it, of course, very special, and this might maybe close the question why Casey Lemon chose her for this film, because Cynthia can sing. She is a musical performer. So, of course, her voice is just like the perfect qualification for this film. And while doing the research, Nene, I read about Harriet Tubman, and it was very common for slaves to use songs to communicate. So this is part of the story. And I think they made it really good in the film that they blended these singing aspect, these songs and the musicality of it, they blended it very well into the story. That Harriet sang into the fields to send them a message, to tell them I'm going, or to tell them I'm back, and so on. This is a part of the story, and they did really well. And of course, with the cherry on the top, Cynthia Erivo herself is a singer, so
she's Tony Award
winner. So
singer. I have to say, I do watch the Oscars religiously, and I do remember her performance and all that, but I didn't watch the movie at the time it came out. I didn't get to it. So I'm only now, we're doing the podcast and discovering, like going into looking at her performances, and she has the most profoundly deep, velvety voice. Uh-huh. It's a very poignant voice. I don't know how to explain it. And I agree with you. The way they blend that so seamlessly
yeah.
into the story was perfect. That was one of the best things mm-hmm. they did.
Because I didn't know that while watching the film, you know, and I was like, okay, this is nice. I love music. And it was so beautiful to listen to. This is very strong, soul-y voices, blues voices, you know. It's like gospel, you know. It's so beautiful to listen to. There's the scene on the boat pretty much to the end where she is standing with soldiers. She's leading a company of soldiers on the river. And they're sitting on the little boats at the shore of the river, waiting for all the soldiers to come out of the woods, or the slaves, and they sing together. And this is such a powerful moment. And I was like, okay, this is really nice, but did this really happen? I mean, is this just like a creative add-on from the production on the story?
Or
this is a creative choice? But they really used it. So... This must be true to the facts.
Yeah.
Certainly not in the melodies or in the lyrics, in the text. But I found it very powerful. And as you said, Nene, and maybe we can use this to discuss the next topic. The script could have been stronger at some points. Mm-hmm. They rushed a few things. So it's even nicer that they got some more points by adding these touches through the film.
Mm-hmm.
So if we go into that, do you think that it has to do with the fact, I don't know, so far, maybe I'm going a little bit out of, I'm stretching myself a little bit too.
Yeah.
In Germany, we say we're looking too far out of the window. We're leaning too far out of the window.
Be careful, you might fall.
I might fall. So far in our series of podcasts and many of the films we have seen in our lives, they take part in Europe. They are not only produced by European teams. We have seen this. We have also discussed a lot of productions that have been made by American teams. But still, do you think that this type of storytelling has to do with the background of the production team, that this is an American story taking place in America, and this is why they soften up a few things on the story and don't make it that realistic, that crude, or do you notice a difference, this being an American production taking place in America, telling an American story, on the way that the script has been done?
Not really. No. I think not really. I think the we're talking about two different traditions here. We've talked a lot about British film. We have talked about a couple French films and so on, but mostly British. And they have a completely different tradition, which is the heritage film industry, which is looking at the past in more or less positive or nostalgic ways, and is portraying a past sort of like, it's a little bit like propaganda about themselves, and it's about the beautiful costumes and you know, class and all kinds of things. It's a little bit of a fantasy. And when we look at we cannot really say period, but we can say period films, American period films. They have to look at their own history. And a big part of that history was slavery. So I think the topic itself doesn't lend itself to having a softer focus or a softer lens. I think, in fact, the tradition of historical films about slavery have, in fact, focused a lot on showing a lot of the violence and a lot of the pain of slavery, to the point that nowadays there are critics, or maybe always been, saying, you know, enough of the slaves movie, it's slavery yeah. movies. We need to start portraying other kinds of Black stories that don't focus on slavery. So I don't see the I think it's just okay. two different traditions of film. I think the script was, I think the film was didactic. For example, I think if we're going to talk about the script and, you know, tradition or the perspective, I think the film was didactic in the sense that it told me the basics of the story. Because to be completely honest with you, we're not Americans. We know, we have said this many times, and American school children learn about Harriet Tubman in yes. their school books. We don't, Canada, so we don't. So if we learn about Harriet Tubman, it's as adults, as grown-ups looking into American history. So I completely, being honest here, I didn't know the details of her life, other than she was an important figure. That's it. So in that sense, the movie told me what I needed to do as an introduction to this historical character.
Yes.
And in doing that, it was perfect. The story starts when she's a young woman. She's not focused on her childhood, any of that. It's focused very much on her journey to freedom and how she became a conductor in the Underworld Railway. It's very much focused on that trajectory. So if we talk about the representation of slavery or the perspective or the softer focus, I don't know. I'm not sure if I understood your question very well. I think there was a choice made to very much focus on her journey and yes, show some of the violence and some of the, you know,
cruelty. Yeah.
The cruelty of slavery. But they did it in a... I like the fact that this was not, you know, slavery porn or whatever you want to call
yes,
it.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I also appreciated like that. Yeah. I also appreciated that they didn't really go into the graphic violence of slavery. And they did have a lot of opportunities to do this. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for saying the right words, the graphic violence of
the
slavery.
Graphic
yeah.
violence.
We've seen it. Enough.
Yes.
Enough movies have shown us this. I think it's unnecessary.
Yes. Yeah, yes. And I like that. I like that touch that they didn't go that into those cruel details, into those graphic details of the violence, that we were aware of it through the entire film, how cruel their owners mm-hmm, were mm-hmm. with her and with her family mm-hmm. and with a certain look, with a certain noise, we knew what was going on, but they didn't really show it. So I appreciated that a lot, that they focus more on the powerful story, on the positive story of her,
yeah.
of her courage and of her bravery. But I still think, and this is maybe why I asked you the question, and maybe I can give you the hint of where I'm going to. For me, I don't know, maybe because I live in Europe, I don't know. For me, it was a very American style of portraying heroes. Portraying heroes. You know, it's like,
oh, I see.
Everything, you know, I'm speculating, but maybe an European portrayal of a hero would have been more down to earth, more human, to show the hero making mistakes, having flaws. I don't know. And in while watching Harriet, we see it all goes so smooth for her. I mean, she struggles so much. We know that. But, you know, everything goes very well for her. Mm. And she is very lucky many times. And once she's lucky once, she's lucky twice and thrice and many other times. And nothing much happens afterwards for her. And it all shines like she is the invincible hero. And for me, that had a very American touch. Wow. You know, because they love hero stories. They love this. And and for me, I was like, I appreciated the fact that they didn't go into the cruel stuff, as I mentioned. But on the other hand, they did too much of this exaltation of the American hero, where everything is just shiny and you know, everything goes well because the good ones are always the good ones. And wow. At the end, they always win. And the mean guy is really mean, and is mean always, and is mean just because he's mean. You know, this typical portraying of good and bad from the American lens. That's how I took it on.
Wow, no, and what a good point, Gabby. Yeah, no, you know, it might be that I have been in this water, swimming in this water for so long that I don't notice it anymore. Like, this is very much a hero narrative.
Yeah.
This is very much constructed as a hero narrative. Absolutely. And yeah, it is that, what is the word? Archetype that is used.
Yeah.
For to you know, they grab the hero archetype and they put Harry's stories there, which is let's be very clear, which it is.
She was incredible.
She was extraordinary. Yeah, we're not taking anything away, but the choice of how you show the journey, like their artistic choices. Yeah, I agree with you. It didn't click for me that way, but it did click in the sense that I was when I call the script didactic or pedestrian, in that, you know, the bad ones are really, really bad, and there was no nuance to them.
Yeah,
there was really no nuance to the family, to the owners. I think their name was Yeah, so the bad guy, let's see, the slave owner, is Gideon Broaddus, the son of the original owner, and he's portrayed by Joel Alwyn. And I think, you know, he did the best he could with the script. I think overall it's a weak performance, it's a weak character, just because it's very one note. And I think it's tricky, right? Because these people were evil. I mean,
there's no doubt about it.
I mean, so it's not like I'm asking for him to be humanized or anything, but there was truly no, it was underwritten.
Yes. And this is what I meant. Yeah. The bad ones were just clearly the bad ones. And you knew as a viewer, they're the bad ones, and you cannot agree with anything. And you can only support the good ones.
Yeah, and I think
it was very flat.
Very flat. And I think they were scary. They, you know, you had, I think the sense of fear and the sense of terror and the sense of humiliation, I think all of that was captured well. I think when we're talking about that, you know, that graphic violence, I think here is very much psychological violence.
Yes.
That mm-hmm. they're portraying very well. And in this case, all the writing, and it's like the first time that not the first time, but if you're going to underwrite somebody, let it be the bad guys. Let it be the slave owners. they should be forgotten into history and, you know, never spoken about again, right? Like, if you're going to underwrite some characters, I applaud you. Underwrite the slave owners. Boo! Yes. Of course. And, you know, and write your main character beautifully, which they did.
So it's
a weird criticism. It's just that it would have been a more rounded film, right, in a sense. So I was thinking that. It's like, okay, they put all the effort, all the beautiful writing they gave it to Harriet and all the abolitionists. And, like, for sure. It's like doing your homework. You have to, and then, oh God, now I have to write the bad guys. Like, oh, well, give him a couple lines here and there.
Okay, let's. He's gonna be the bully, you know.
I guess I have to write a scene for the bad guys. Like, we don't want them, because this is a story. This is Harriet's story.
Yes, it's Harriet's story.
And,
yeah.
But we need the antagonist. We need to see what she's, you know, what she's escaping from, and what she's, you know, and we need to see how abhorrent
situation
is. So we need those pieces too. Not like we need reminding, but
exactly. And I think they took the character of Gideon, they made it too typical villain, you know, too typical villain, and which is, as I said, my husband and I watching the film, we were like, okay, this is so typical American. This is so typical American, yeah. You know? The bad guy was really just a bad guy, and his motivation was also kind of vague, why he liked her, why he wanted to, didn't want her to, you know, to go, was kind of vague. Which is a shame, because maybe he could have had the potential of adding a little bit more pepper to the story, you know, not to be so flat. Anyhow, Nene, I think there were other performances and maybe other aspects that we enjoyed and we liked so much. So tell me your general impression on the entire setting, the entire cinematography, when you add up all the elements we have talked about. Cynthia's performers, we have talked about the music, we have talked about the script. If you put it all together, what is your impression about the entire production? The entire film?
Yes, I was reading about Cassie Lemons, and I read that she was an educator. And that was the word that stuck to my mind after watching this movie. I felt that I've learned about Harriet. In a well-told story that told me the main points, that got me up to speed so that I can now go and read her biographies and read about the work and then go from there and understand her impact. I think it's a well-done movie. Obviously, lots of care was placed in portraying Harriet, our hero, which now you very clearly pointed, yes, it's a hero trajectory. It's wonderful. There's very little friction. Like there's an aspect of a little bit of magic or spiritual aid here that happens for her, that's incorporated into the narrative, and that we can later discuss if this was accurate or not, to historically accurate or not. Harriet believes in God very deeply, and she was wounded as a child with a piece of metal that left her throughout her life suffering from convulsions and sort of like blackouts and sort of like dizzy spells or sleeping spells. And the movie explains that it was during these sleeping spells or convulsions or blackouts that she would have visions. And those visions were the ones that guided her to the work and sort of gave her her inner strength to conduct the work and feel like she was invincible. Like, there's a few scenes when she invokes this power, this spiritual power that she has seen through her visions to kind of guide people. There's a scene where she walks through a river with her hands up and her gun to show the people, like Moses. There's a whole parallel made with Moses through a song, through, obviously, she becomes Moses when she's coming back and forth. There's people are getting angry because slaves are running away, and there's signs of runaway slaves, and everybody's trying to catch the conductor, and they think it's a man called Moses. It's beautiful, right? This parallel is just wonderful. Moses leading his people to freedom.
Yeah.
So I think in that sense, the movie does that very well. My overall opinion is it's a very important story. I think the filmmakers honored the story, but it left me lacking. I think it needed a stronger vision behind. And I don't know if vision is the right word, but a stronger yeah, maybe an even stronger artistic thing, her educator side got the best of her overall. The movie is beautiful to look at. When you're talking about a movie about slavery being beautiful to look at.
Exactly.
It is gorgeous. The performance is great. The costumes are fantastic. So overall, I highly recommend this movie. My impression is that it's a very enjoyable movie because we're seeing her triumph.
Yes, because it's one of the positive stories. I have to say, it is my experience watching this film is similar to yours. I didn't see it from this aspect of the educating, as you mentioned. I like that. That it is a very didactic, it's a very educating film. But it closes the circle for me. What is this? I watched the film. I didn't know anything about Harriet Tubman. And I was very impressed by the story. I checked everything, all the facts afterwards. I read a little bit of her biography of her life. And I was, of course, very impressed with how incredible her journey was. Yeah, how much she achieved, how old she turned, etc. I was really, really touched. But it took a while for me to get warm about the film. You know, it is as if you touch a pond of water and it's just nice and warm. It doesn't shock you. It doesn't shake you. Yeah. You know, it doesn't really, there's no, we have watched films where I'm really shaken to the core, you know, because it has left such an impression on me, because it has made me think about so many things and it has thrown so many questions to my head, you know, and this film, it just left me, it was a warm, cozy feeling around my heart. You know, I wasn't shaken.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, like a Sunday film.
Yeah.
And it might have to do with the fact that you mentioned that it's maybe unconsciously mainly an educating film about her life. I don't know, but we prepare our podcast up front, and we take some notes and we discuss the questions that we want to talk about in the podcast. And it took me a while to find the topics that we want to talk about while discussing this film, because there was not one point that really grabbed me and said, Gabby, this is the spark of the film, you know? So all in all, I have a similar feeling like you do with this film. It is beautiful to watch it. It's refreshing that it's a slavery film, but that doesn't focus on this graphic violence of the slavery, which is partly due to the fact that she is so much outdoors, escaping and transporting the people to taking the people out of the plantage and so on. It takes a lot, takes place outdoors. Mm-hmm. So of course we see a lot of landscapes, fields, woods, river, and it is really so, so well done, so beautiful. This atmosphere of the foggy nights where they have to escape is so nice to watch. It is really, really well done. But as I go back, to Cynthia, she's the one that makes the film, and even though Leslie Autumn Jr., who is famous from Hamilton, is taking he has the supporting role, you know, you have such a talented, such a amazing person, performer, actor in the film, and it doesn't really give you the material to talk much about it, because he's just an ally to Harriet, and he is just supporting role.
Yeah.
Which maybe is like a kind of like a wasted a wasted chance having Leslie Odom Jr. there. And his character is like a nice guy and the sidekick of Harriet, but
yeah,
that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I agree with you. And I do want to talk about the supporting roles of Leslie Odom Jr. as William Still. He was an abolitionist who lived in Philadelphia and who connected Harry with the Underground Railway when she finally makes it. When she finally makes it to freedom, she ends up with him, and he puts him in a boarding room, being kept by Mary, who's played by Janelle Monáe. And I was so excited to have these two actors in this movie. I'd forgotten. Like, I sat down to watch the movie, and I was like, oh, my God, I didn't even see. I know Sinteri was in it, but I'd forgotten who else was there. And when the character William Still comes in, I typed in my phone, all caps, Leslie Odom Jr. I was so like, oh, my God, I forgot he was in this movie. And then. Oh, and then I was like, oh, well, that was okay. That was okay. And I think it's because I'm going to go back to that point that they put all their, rightly so, they put all their energy in writing Harriet. And I think they kind of forgot a little bit about the supporting characters. Yeah, he's a great character, but he has very little to do. And I want to briefly talk about Janelle Monáe, who I love as a singer. She's an extraordinary writer, singer, performance, fashion icon. She's also extremely beautiful, and she plays a free-born woman. She's born free, and she has this boarding house, so she has a whole different comportment, the way she moves and so on. But her performance also left me lacking. She's a great friend of Harriet. She takes her in, really takes care of her. They have some lovely scenes together.
Yes.
Where Harriet is taking a bath after her long, long, horrendous journey, and she's combing her hair, and she's very tender, but her performance also left me lacking. She had little to do. She has a very terrible scene, and I think she did very well, but I think it's the writing, because so much love, so much passion was put into writing the character of Harriet that some of the energy was lacking for the rest. However, I do have to mention that the rest of the cast, Harriet's family, her parents, brother, sister, small roles, but beautiful performances, especially the Reverend.
The
Reverend in Maryland, who is sort of like the connector to Philadelphia. Another amazing performance. All of them in very small roles did beautiful work throughout.
Absolutely, Nene. Very good. Are you prepared for the final question?
I don't know if I am.
How many wicks and candles do you give this film after this thorough analysis? And which scenes impacted you the most?
Yes, I was thinking about this a lot. I picked two scenes. I'm thinking, should I give the wicks and candles first and then the scenes? Or how do you want me to answer?
No, first the scenes and then the wicks and candles.
All right. Okay. I have two scenes that I want to talk about. The first scene you already mentioned, it is the scene where Harriet escapes by herself and she runs through woods. There's a moment where she gets caught in a bridge, and the slave owners actually catch up with her, and she's trapped in that bridge, and she decides to jump. And that's when she actually takes a leap of faith and jumps to freedom, and she runs. She goes on the run. So it's a harrowing journey, escaping, hiding. She has no food. She's, anyway. And that moment when she gets off the carriage and somebody says, yeah, you have 24 more miles and you're there. She's nicely dressed. Finally, she's wearing dry clothes. Somebody has helped her. And that is one moment that truly elevates the movie to another level. And the acting is impeccable because the sun is rising and she sees the horizon, what she's going to walk. And it is just I get chills just remembering because she's looking ahead and she stands her hands out as if to grab the freedom. It's like she's grabbing the air and she's just like, then she composes herself. You said it before, is when she's finally able to be herself without, you know, she is free. You can totally, totally sense, you can totally feel her freedom. I don't know how to explain it, or the way to explain it. You feel her freedom, what it feels to be under the sky, but being free. What it feels to be touched by the sun, but being free. What it feels to see the woods, but being free. It's a completely different face. It is a completely different expression on her face. It is a truly, truly poignant, beautiful scene. And it lasts like 20 seconds. I don't even know. It's very short. Yeah. Just for that move, just for that thing, this movie is worth it. The other one that I want to mention, and it's really not well explained in the movie. Again, I think the script, because it lacks a little bit. And I went and I listened to a podcast that was very, very good. And we'll put it in the notes where they did like an introduction to Harry Tupman's life with a few historians. And this movie is very accurate. And they at the end of the movie, they show Harriet working with the Union Army in the North during the Civil War. The movie takes us to the Civil War, and she started to work as a spy with the Union Army, you know, to win the war. And they enlist her, and they don't explain this very well in the movie, but. During her lifetime, during her work as a conductor, Harriet brought about 70 people to freedom, mostly members of her family. But during the war, when she was enlisted to work with the army to attack plantations and kind of like intercept and kind of liberate as many people as possible, she was part of an operation, which is shown in the movie, when through one of those military operations, they liberated 750 or 700 enslaved people at the same time. And they show this, and they have this scene where people are running to freedom, to the boats. And I thought that was just so absolutely moving. The actors, the extras that they chose and wearing their, you know, carrying things and just running towards the water. That was a powerful, very like visually powerful scene, but also so full of meaning. You know, they're running towards her, towards freedom. I mean, and listening to that podcast, I learned that this is true. This absolutely happened, and she helped do that during the war. So those are my two scenes. So overall, Weeks and Candles, I feel terrible because if you listen to our season finale for our first season, I'm going to give the same amount of Weeks and Candles to this movie that I gave to Bridgerton, which is fun, great. And here we're talking about a historical character that did so much for humanity, that did so much for her country. But I'm going to give it 7. I'm going to give it 7 Weeks and Candles just because it shines here and there. It educated me. It taught me a lot. There's beautiful moments. But overall, I think the script was lacking passion. I think it lacked a little bit more passion, a little bit more writing. What about you guys?
Very good.
What are your
very
two
good
scenes and how many Weeks and Candles?
There won't be many surprises in my rating. I totally agree with your first scene. It is the core. It is the core of the story of the film. This moment of walking to freedom, just as you described it, how you as a viewer can feel her relief, that she herself cannot believe it, that, well, that she maybe doesn't even dare to be happy because, you know, she has this hesitating moment of, I can grasp freedom, as you described it, yeah? But at the same time, she controls herself because she still doesn't believe it herself. She's just still hesitant. Something still might happen, you know?
Yeah.
And you feel this. You feel it is an amazingly well done scene. I saw an interview also while doing the research, and they described the day where they filmed that scene, and they said the weather was not playing along. It was a horrible day, a lot of rain. And at some point they said, okay, there's a slight shimmer of light in the sky, so this is the moment. We have to do it right now because otherwise we will lose the day. And they climb up that hill. And just in the moment when they say camera roll, the sky opened and the sun came out. So both the actors and Casey Lemons described this as the most magical moment in the filming, the movie. Yeah? And I guess this energy is totally there. You can feel it. It's a wonderful scene.
Wow.
Maybe the tears of joy of Cynthia Erivo.
Oh, it's amazing. Oh my God, I'm moved. I'm very moved, yeah.
Yeah, it gives you the goosebumps. So I totally agree. This is a beautiful scene. This is the core of the story. And my second favorite scene, and this might sound a little bit cheesy also coming from me, the European viewer, but there is one scene pretty much towards the end. She has already had a lot of successful liberations of a few slaves already, and she's a steady member of the Underground Railway Committee, and they are all gathered in a room with a lot of important members of the committee, and they are discussing the routes, how to go south again and how to bring out the people, because they are aware that some roads are very dangerous and yeah, they're trying to figure out, okay, how do we get the people out and so on. And they are all a little bit pessimistic. They say, okay, how we're not going to get there, and how are we going to do this, and we might not have the chance and so on. And Harriet takes a chance to talk to this crowd. As I say, there's a lot of important members of this society, of this group, gathered in this room. And she gives a speech. Again, this is, again, following the archetype of heroic storytelling, the American style. But for the story and for the film, I think this was a very important moment for Harriet to tell her story. Up until that moment, we see this woman suffering, getting wet, risking her life, risking everybody's life, fighting, climbing, running, and she barely says a word. You see her motivation only through actions. She was a slave. She was not used to speaking up her mind. So in this moment, finally, she speaks out. She tells a story. She talks in the name of her own, of her family, of where she comes from. She tells the horrors of being a slave. For the first time, she really out loud to a crowd of persons, people who are just washed, fancily dressed, and enjoying the benefits of freedom. For the first time in the movie and in the story, finally Harriet channels her suffering and her motivation into that speech. And this is why I liked it. As I say, it was certainly also done at the end. The entire crowd claps.
Hopefully, but thankfully it was not a slow clap.
they clapped at the speech, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is pretty American. But as I said, seeing how she developed through the film, I think this is pivotal to the story.
I'm clapping. Yes, Gabby, that is such a very, very important point that you have made.
Because she didn't speak much.
No, and she was illiterate. She never learned to read or write.
She wasn't literate.
But she did have speaking engagements. Especially, there's a moment when she has to go to Canada. They passed this horrendous law. Law, which was the...
Oh, this slaves hunt. I don't know. It was called, yeah.
Means when they passed the Fugitive Slave Act, it means that slave owners can go and look for their, you know, anybody who they think is a fugitive and bring them, even if they are in states where there's no slavery.
Yes,
they can go and get them from anywhere, even free, even states where they were free. Yeah, so she had to go to Canada, and she had speaking engagements.
Yeah, but anyhow, this is how, if you just look at the film, this is for me the moment when she. She finally stands up. Was nice. All in all, Nene, as I said, it left me warm around my heart. So I also go for a 7. It is technically well done. So Cynthia Erivo was amazing. I love the music, but it's a very softy, even though the story could have been so, it has the potential and the material, and it's a fascinating story. It left me warm. It was like, as I said, a nice Sunday afternoon film.
Gabby,
I also go for a 7.
Great. So we have given 14 Weeks and Candles to Harriet. It's a absolutely worthy film to watch. It's just, you know, the script for me. The script for me could have been better. And I think when you know so much about a subject, it's very hard to separate yourself from the facts and focus more on the storytelling. And I think that might have happened here. They put, like, it often happens that at the end of the movie, they have to put a lot of things together.
That is very dense.
That's why that very, very important scene where they liberate all those 700 enslaved people at the end wasn't very clear. You don't really understand it that well. And I think it just is a failure of the writing and trying to tackle that thing. But in between those, there's very emotional moments when she comes back from that mission and she actually liberated her parents. She brought her family to freedom. This is so extraordinary and so resonant for so many modern people who they're not enslaved, but I think it's just a human level, yes. just rescuing your people. And she did this. She did this with her own two hands. She brought her parents to freedom. And we are from Venezuela, and I'm not comparing myself to Harriet. I'm just going to say that. But I was able to, wonderful immigration law here in Canada for a little while, bring our parents to Canada. That moment when she goes back after this mission and she hugs her father in freedom was extremely poignant to me and extremely beautiful. She was still her father's daughter after everything she had done. She did it for her family. She did it for her people. It was very poignant. So among all these kind of like more didactic scenes, you have very, very, very beautiful moments as well. So this is an absolutely worthy movie to watch. And I think maybe it's just, you know, there's too much to tell,
too
and they kind
to
of
tell.
Tackle a few things and facts at the end. And she, like you said, she lived to 91.
She had such a long life. Yeah, maybe they showed too much of the many back and forth that she had. They wasted too much time telling that part of the story.
Yeah,
I don't know. We cannot repair the film from our perspective.
No. And there's a few montage, and I enjoy all of those. I'm not sure. We're not filmmakers. I don't know how to.
No filmmakers.
We can
yeah.
only speak from our point of view as viewers. Like, what do we feel that we didn't get? But Gabby, can we mention the song?
Yes, to wrap it up. It's so, so beautiful. Oscar-nominated song,
Didn't Win, Stand Up, correct?
Yes.
Written by Cynthia Erivo and another songwriter that I don't have the name in here. They were nominated for an Oscar, didn't win. I don't think they won. But please do listen to that song and to Cynthia Erivo's performance. It is truly an astonishingly beautiful and powerful song that really, really honors the work that Harriet Tubman did, and how this story is so important to be, you know, that needs to be told.
And the lyrics of the song tell the story also in a song.
In such a
moving way. Yes, Nene, the song was written by Cynthia and Joshua Brian Campbell.
There you go. Thank you.
They were both nominated for that song.
Yeah, and she sings it so, so beautiful.
Yes, we will certainly put some of these links in our show notes that you can check them out.
Exactly. We'll put the podcast and we'll put the link to the song. And yeah, I think this is such an important story that takes most of the candles, right? That
yes.
Takes most of the wicks and candles. It's just an important story. And
it had to be told.
And I'm so happy that it's not just a short story or a documentary, that it's a motion picture, because motion pictures, and I don't know what I'm using that term, but I think the medium lends itself to creating myths, and I think those are important for
absolutely, you know, for reaches people. A bigger audience, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. So she deserved the big screen treatment, obviously, as a hero of the American abolitionist movement. She deserved a huge screen, and
yes.
I'm so happy she got it in a beautiful movie overall.
Absolutely, absolutely, Nene.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Gabby, for this very, very. Interesting and compelling conversation. I think we can see each other's eyes, and we could talk about this as always. We could talk much longer, but thank you for putting together these very good questions for the discussion, Gabby. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for your insights, Nene. They're always so incredibly valuable.
And yours, and yours as well. So many things that you have taught me during this conversation. But we want to thank you for listening. And thank you again for listening to our podcast, and see you soon.
Thank you. See you next time.
Bye-bye.
Wicks and Candles is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher.
So go ahead and subscribe and follow us on Instagram at Wicks and Candles. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.
Wicks and Candles is written, hosted, and produced by Andreina Romero and Gabriela Morgan Romero. The image design is by Pamela Rollin. The podcast theme music is the Concerto for Two Violins in D Minor by Johann Sebastian Bach.